You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today will be in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your word, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Okay, I hope you have your track shoes on. Three verses, but three verses with quite a punch. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now as you have brought us aside to study your word, to look at the scriptures, to see our Savior, our Lord, to learn more about him and to see how we should live and how you have called us to live in faith, not of our own, but the faith, Father, that's present here in the scripture. Faith, Father, that brings glory and honor to him who loved us and gave his life for us. So our request, Father, is that your Spirit hedge us about, bring us aside from the things that might distract us, that we might be built up in a faith, Father, that is holy and is pleasing to you and acceptable. And as you attend to that, meeting each need that each person, each family has here today, we thank you for these graces in Christ Jesus, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. We've already looked at several aspects of it. And like I said last week, in this book we see the conflict of all the ages come together. It is the conflict between the truth and the lie. The truth and the lie, and what the truth is. And last week we studied how we're to walk. And it talks about in verse 1 to walk, or verse 2, walk in love as Christ walked in love and gave himself for us. And then in verse 8, to walk in light, to be children of the light, to walk in the light. And we can't do that in our own efforts and in our own ability. That's the lie. That's the picture of Cain. Cain had the truth. He knew what he was supposed to do, and he brought what he thought was going to be approved by God, and God could not approve it, nor could God accept it. He brought an offering that wasn't acceptable. And if we live our life, and we're going to look at some of those aspects today, if we live our life in a way that is not acceptable to him, if we live our life in our own self-righteousness, if we trust in ourselves, then we fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of giving him the glory that he's due, and we fall short of the blessings that he has for us. I was thinking of an illustration for that. We have the same point down the time of life that we're heading for. It's an idea that in the heavenlies far above, it's to be with him and to rule and reign with him in the heavenlies far above. But how we get there is not left up to us. He's already given us a way to get there. He's given us the roadmap. And we can get there our way because we have that assurance. When we deal with salvation, we deal with sanctification, we deal with the fundamentals of the doctrine. That's the root. That's the root. That's what he has done. And that's what he has given. When we deal with the fruit, he's looking at us to walk worthy of the vocation which he's called us to. If I'm coming from, I have my office down at 31st and North May. If I'm coming home, there are several ways I can come home. I can come straight down May Avenue, all the way to Memorial, and then go across Memorial. I can come down the Lake Hefner Parkway. Now, there's many other ways I could come home. I could go out Northwest Highway to MacArthur and go up MacArthur to Memorial and come over. And I'm still going to the same destination, but there's many ways that I get there. Now, if he has asked me to go down May Avenue, because there are several people I'm supposed to pick up down May Avenue, there's a couple of stops I'm supposed to make. If I take the left Lake Hefner Parkway and try to get there quicker and faster, what have I done? Well, I haven't been obedient. I haven't walked the walk or the drive. I haven't driven the drive down May Avenue. That's where I don't want to go down May Avenue sometimes. You know, it's busy. and there are stoplights, and I'm in a hurry, and it's self-righteousness that gets in my way. I'm going down Lake Heffner Parkway. What does that do? Well, along the way, I miss out. I miss out on the joy that comes in that intimate, close relationship with Him. And I hope that's an illustration everybody can understand. Look at verse 17. It says, see. The first word is see. Verse 15. See then. See then. That word see. Stop there. It's almost a command. It's almost a kick in the rear. It's a prod from behind. It's the word blepo. You study that word blepo? You know what it means to see something with your eye, and it's like it's seeing that the days are evil. And it's seeing that there is a day to come. Now when I see that the days are evil because I see how evil they are, where a superstar can kill his wife and get off scot-free, but yet a 7-year-old first grader kisses a girl and he is charged with sexual harassment. So the days are evil. I can see that with my eye. I read it in the paper. I see it on the TV. But this is not what that word is. This is the word that sees it with the mind's eye. It sees it with the intuitiveness that God has given you to see that the day is coming when His judgment will fall. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We have a picture of this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And keep in mind that when God is telling you to see then that you walk circumspectly, he is asking you with your mind's eye, with your intuitiveness, to recognize the inherent joy and glory that comes from walking that way. In verse 25 it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see, there's that word blepo, the day approaching. That's not the day that we're looking, but that's not today's lesson. This is a day that they look forward to, and this was the day of tribulation, the day of the establishment of the kingdom and the millennial reign. As they saw the activities during their period, they knew that that day, they could see intuitively that that day was approaching. Come back to Ephesians. That's what this word means. And in it, what it boils down to is it's seeing with the heart. It's seeing with the heart what the inner man needs to see. It's not seeing with the eye. It's seeing with the heart. The need to walk circumspectly. It's seeing, don't walk after your own way. Don't walk in your self-righteousness. Don't trust in yourself. Walk in the way that God has established. See then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly is that word diligently. It's to walk exactly. It's not to look to the left. It's not to look to the right. It's not to look on how you want things to be, but to see how God wants them to be. It deals with the heart. The things of the heart are the important matter here. That's where wisdom comes from. The next phrase is, don't walk as a fool, but as a wise. Let's don't look at a fool yet. We know a fool says in his heart there is no God. Let's look at walking as wise. Wisdom deals with the heart. You can't be wisdom. You'll never be wisdom, but you can get wisdom. And that's what the Bible says. Get wisdom. It's the principal thing. But wisdom is tied up with the heart. Look at what our Lord said over in, turn to Matthew chapter 12. And see how important this is, this getting of wisdom. And Joe had a wonderful lesson as you're turning. And Joe had a beautiful lesson this morning on wisdom. And I sat there and I thought, wisdom is what we need. Happy is he who gets wisdom, it says in the Proverbs. But the thing that I have a tough time with, you know I'm supposed to milk the cow, but how do I do it? You know what I mean? Especially if that old cow doesn't want to be milked. So applying it in my life, that's where I struggle. That's where I deal with it. living the crucified life. You know, I'm crucified with Christ, Paul says in Galatians, but nevertheless I live. And I deal with that. You deal with that. So how do you live a crucified life? You men? You struggle against your passions. You women, you struggle against your passions. The Lord's laid out how you should deal with that. Are you attentive to it? It's in the heart these things begin. Remember in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23? Keep your heart, for out of it come forth the issues of life. The things that are important. We spend so much time talking about so much that's unimportant. We're so thoughtless. We don't walk circumspectly. We don't talk circumspectly. We waste time. But look what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. See? Doctrine is a root, but your practice and your activity and your walk is the fruit. You've got that responsibility. And he prunes like the good husbandman he is. He prunes and he cares and he waters and sheds light. And you're to produce that fruit. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So you see how important the heart is? The heart is the receptacle. The heart is the treasure chest. It is the depository of things that can be good or evil. Turn over to chapter 15 and see what he says. Verse 18. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from where? The heart. The heart is so wrapped up in this. And it's your heart that you need to guard. You need to keep your heart. You need to make sure that your heart doesn't allow you to have corrupt communication come from your mouth. To tell a lie. Now I'm going back to Ephesians in chapter 5. You know, it says, he who stole, steal no more. He who lies, don't lie anymore. If you're angry, be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let it get a hold of you because it causes bitterness. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Put those things away. Put away malice and every other thoughtless thing that comes between you and the Lord that interrupts your walking worthy. Put those things away and learn to forgive as God has forgiven you, for Christ's sake. And it's from the heart that those things come forth. And yet we just overrule our heart. We overrule. God has given us the power to fill the heart up with the things that are important and necessary. But we overrule the heart. That's why the Word of God has got to come in. See that over there on the wall? It's got to come in and it's got to divide the soul and the spirit. The soul begins to take over and wants to rule things its way. I'm just going to have my say. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And spouses get hurt, and children get hurt, and families break up, and all kinds of crazy things happen after that. Drugs and addictions. And it all begins back then. It's, you know, wanting to follow your own path instead of following His path that He's decided He's going to cut for you because your soul just steps right in the way. I've got to be me. Rule, guard your heart and let the Word of God rule in your heart and give way to it. Even if you have to swallow your pride and you have to swallow your wants and swallow your desires, and you're better off not swallowing them, you're better off just throwing them away and getting as far away from them as you can. Quit it. Don't compromise this life God has given to you. Now the... Let's look at a couple of quick things. The heart. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to look at a couple of quick verses that deal with the heart. But while you're turning there, I want to tell you about this little muscle that's inside our chest that beats. You know, there's an epidemic in medicine today about the heart. Last year, about 1.9 million people die, and of those, 750,000 of them died from a heart-related disease. So there's a real concern about the heart. There's a real concern about, even with all the heart operations, the heart transplants, we still have one-third, one-half of the people who die from a heart-related problem. And God's interested in the heart. Think about this little muscle that beats inside your chest. This little muscle has got a couple of figures I'll tell you here. Every day, it beats over 103,000 times. 103,000 times every day. Do you know that every hour it pumps 250 pounds of blood through it? Some of you have already had 250 pounds pumped through you just while you've been here. It pumps blood that travels 168,000 miles throughout your body every day. 168,000 miles it pumps and it pumps and it pumps. The heart's an important thing. If the heart gets sick, you get sick. The heart is the source of life. If the heart dies and fails, you die. God's interested in your heart. But the physical heart is what we put so much attention on. Don't eat meat. And don't eat fat. And get more rest. And have more leisure time. We concentrate on all of these diets and these activities, and we worry more about this little physical thing that pumps for, if you're lucky, 70. But God's more interested in the real source of life of the inner man, the inner heart. He's interested in the spiritual side of the heart. He's interested in the seat, from that perspective, of the vitality of the inner man. And what he feeds you with has nothing to do with fruits and nuts and vegetables. He feeds you with the life that comes from the Word, the real life. And it comes from this book. And I get wisdom, and then I have to apply it if I want to live. Look at chapter 2, verse 2 of Proverbs. Not that. And there. Let's back up verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. See, that's the thing that's important in life. And oh, we miss it, don't we? You know, are there no moments in your life if you could go back? Yeah. There's not a one of us here today that doesn't have a moment, or many moments like that. If you could. If I'd have just exercised the wisdom that I knew that God had given me. If I'd have just been steadfast and unmovable. If I'd have just been faithful. Look at chapter 3. Verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. That's what leads up to trusting in the Lord with all your heart, binding those things about your neck, writing them on the tablets. And if you haven't begun, begin today to exercise this power that God has given to you. The power to say no to sin, to say no to darkness, and to say yes to righteousness, and say yes to life, and to walk that way, to walk in love, to walk in love. That's walking wisely. See, the heart doesn't have anything to do with it. Well, you know, they've got good intentions. You know, good intentions can lead you straight to hell. And the doors will be wide open. Good intentions don't... They just reflect what comes out of the heart. The heart's just a treasure chest. What do you put in it is important. I'm sure Cain had good intentions. But when he became disobedient, what did it end up in? He killed his brother. Sometimes we kill a brother, we kill a sister with our tongue. We say something we shouldn't say. We need to have power over that. The tongue's a deadly thing. It's not just that. We kill. Look at envy. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Look at some of the characteristics of the heart and why the heart is so important and why you have to guard it, because there are things that can get into the heart that can ruin you. Chapter 6, verse 18. A heart that devises wicked imagination. This is one of the things God hates. A heart can devise wicked imaginations. So there is that wickedness that can be in the heart. Look at chapter 7, verse 10. Here's the heart of a harlot, and look what's in her heart. Behold, there met the man, a woman, with the attire of a harlot, and the subtleness of heart. There's that subtleness that can come in. It's that lustfulness that she had that was part of her heart, and she needed to get it out. She needed to get it under control. Look at chapter 12. And here we see deception can be in the heart in verse 20. Deceit, it says, is in the heart of those who imagine evil. Look at chapter 14. In verse 10. Bitterness is in the heart. Verse 10 says the heart knows its own bitterness. Bitterness can be in the heart, and the heart knows it. Chapter 15. Not everything in the heart has to be bad. Look at verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. There's joy. Joy and happiness can be in the heart. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. And a good report makes the bones fat. I love that. Look at chapter 18. Verse 12. There's pride and haughtiness before the destruction. Or before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. There's pride. And haughtiness can be found in the heart. And the heart can be destroyed. You ever met somebody who's just so bitter and angry and disappointed and discouraged with life that they live a destroyed life? They've got no victory. They've got no joy. Look at verse chapter 19. The foolish, verse 3. Here's the idea of raging. The raging heart. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart rages or frets. I like the word rages against the Lord. And his foolishness has caused his heart to rage because he mixed up his needs with his greeds. And God's clear about that. I shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 17. No, that's not right. Well, I can't even read the... it's envy. Maybe that's chapter 20. Joe, I may have to borrow your glasses. Go back here and look here. Maybe it's chapter 23. That could be a 0, a 3, or an 8. I'm telling you. Boy, that's a little writing. Let's try 23:17. Yeah, there we go. 23:17. Envy. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't let envy come in. See, these... You could characterize the heart in many ways. Let's just characterize it in two ways, okay? There's things that you think, okay? Things that you think. Look at same chapter, verse 7, chapter 23. For as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. So let's characterize the heart as things you think, and things you talk about. Chapter 24, verse 1. Be not thou envious of evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studies destruction, their lips talk of mischief. So there's things that there's many other categories and characteristics of the heart, but there are things that the heart thinks about and the things that the heart talks about. And we're to be wise. We're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk exactly the way God called us to walk, and not to walk to the left or to the right. And the only way we can do that is by guarding the heart. To walk not as the fool who says there is no God. The fool says, "Oh my, I am so rich. Look at what I've done. I have just got all kinds, and I'm overflowing in my granaries. I'll just tear them down and build new ones." Do you remember the story? Let's go look at it real quick in Luke chapter 12. Our Lord's telling this story, this parable about a rich fool who thought within himself, "Oh, what shall I do?" And when he decided to do, he was so proud of himself. I'm in verse 19 now. I'll say to my soul, "Soul?" Yeah. And it's a shame. The soul doesn't have sense enough to go, but the soul's just puffed up with him. He says, "Soul," and the soul goes, "Yeah." And the soul, "Thou hast much goods laid up for many years." Verse 19. Take thine ease, and eat and drink and be merry. But look at verse 20. Look at the condemnation of God. But God said unto him, "Thou fool." See, that's the fool. Don't walk as the fool. Don't think you're self-sufficient. Don't trust in yourself. Back up over to, turn over to chapter, where is the 18? The Pharisee? Yeah, chapter 18 of Luke. Look at this. Here's a real fool. So worldly wise and so self-assured. And look at him in verse 9. Our Lord spoke this parable unto certain people who trusted in themselves. See, that trusting in yourself and having that self-righteousness is an error. He said unto those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Notice the despise comes from the heart. There two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed within himself, just like that rich fool who said, "Oh soul, look at what you've done, you're so full." And God calls him a fool. The difference between being full and being a fool. So you have ample opportunity now to look at your life and ask yourself, "Oh my goodness, have I been going that long? Look, there's a clock up there. I never noticed it until now. It's 6:12. Oh my." Oh, okay. Does that say 3:12? Oh my gosh. I've been going on a long time. Y'all haven't said anything, so you've been enjoying it. I'm glad. There's something here to learn, isn't there? There's something to learn. The time, it says, is evil. Redeeming the time. Come back to Ephesians. I've got about 3 or 4 minutes. I think we can finish this out pretty quick. Redeeming the time. Because the idea of redeeming is to buying up every opportunity that comes along. Don't pass it up. It's the idea of the shopper going into the market and snapping up all the bargains. Okay, redeeming the time. Okay? And you got 15 minutes. You're sitting outside somebody's office waiting to make a call. Pray. But you got to know who to pray for, right? There's wisdom. Pray. Now let's make it appropriate and applied. Who do I pray for? Well, Paul wrote Timothy, pray for those that are in authority so we live a quiet and peaceful life. Just study the Scriptures and you begin to understand. Don't just pray. Pray according to what thus saith the Lord. Know that He has called you to do that. You got someone you need to intercede for? The Champion family needs our prayers. They need to be lifted up. They need to know that God loves them, and at this time of grief and sorrow, they're sad. They're numb. But we need to pray and keep praying. That's just one aspect of redeeming the time, for the days are evil. The days are evil. The days are so evil. There was a time when sin used to slither down the back alley, but today it struts right down Main Street. You know what I mean? And they have these parades of the most despicable characters in society. The days are evil. But God's given us hope. He's given us faith. And that faith isn't in some experience. Don't misunderstand that. The faith that we have is not in some experience, but it's in the promises of God. We face these wicked, vile, despicable things in society today that have permeated every aspect of our culture, and it's easy to lose sight of what God has said. It's easy to lose discernment, and so then that we see, we can't see to walk circumspectly. But God has given us faith, and it's not in something. I would love God to give me an explanation of what's going on. There's so much, like Habakkuk. Go back and read the first chapter, and he said, there's so much wickedness and there's so much vile going on. Lord, why are you silent? And we'd like him to speak. And we're hollering, listen, Lord, your servant speaks. And there's silence. Because God doesn't look at it that way. He says, listen, servant, your Lord speaks. And Habakkuk didn't like it because the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, were going to be brought down to wipe out and to exercise judgment. Now, don't be looking for an explanation. Faith isn't in an explanation. It's in the promises of God and what He has given you to stand on. That's where you walk. And if you're there in Ephesians, the last verse, chapter 17, wherefore now, in light of all of this that He has given to you, He says, be not unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord. Understanding the will of the Lord. Faith does not live by appearances. Faith lives by providence, trusting in God Almighty. We think sometimes that God ought to grade on a curve. And God doesn't grade on a curve. It would be great if He did. We look at ourselves and say, I'm not really that bad. I'm not as bad as them. And there's the curve. And, he doesn't really grade on the curve because, the Republicans look at the Democrats and say, we're not as bad as them. Democrats look at Republicans, well, we're not as bad as them. We're pretty good in light of all that they do, but God doesn't grade on the curve. And the Baptists look at the Lutherans. Lutherans look at the Methodists. Methodists, Episcopalians. Episcopalians look back at the Baptists. And we lay down in the gutter and stretch ourselves out next to a hypocrite, and because we're longer, we think we're better. God doesn't grade on the curve. We have in God we trust on our money. But we have me, myself, and I in our heart. Uh-huh. It's when you quit filling your heart with yourself and you begin to fill your heart with the things of God that you'll travel down that road the way He wants you to. You won't go down like Heffernan Parkway if He wants you to go down May Avenue. And along May Avenue, guess what? And before you know it, you know, you got all kinds of people in the car with you, and some of them got cinnamon rolls, and some of them got little stories and jokes, and it's the greatest life that God could ever bless you with. So start filling your heart with those things. Let's pray. Father, we need that heart filled with the things that are good so that the fruit that comes forth is good. And we need to recognize, Lord, that we fail so often. And there are times in the past, Lord, that we thought about a moment ago when we wish we could go back. If we could, we would change them and never. But we can start right now. Life can be now. And we can begin to fill that heart with the things that you've given us to fill it with. And you'll be so pleased and we'll be so happy. And we'll be living the abundant life that your Son has given us. And we won't be tossed to and fro. And we won't be grieving the Holy Spirit or even quenching the Spirit. We'll learn, Father, to walk in love and to walk in light and to walk wisely. Begin to understand your will. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Father, for your blessing on the Word and its effect in our heart. We might be filled up with the things that bring honor and glory to your Son who loved us and gave His life for us. We pray these things in His precious name.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.